Well, our very next guest would have thoroughly dominated the WEOL Scholastic Games of Cuyahoga County if that had existed, because he is a Solon Comet, and he is as sharp as they come. He is the one and only, our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Thanks for the intro, Bull.
Anytime, my friend. I'm a good hype man. You know that.
You are. I do know that. That I definitely know.
Yes, you've got experience. I'm definitely a very, very good hype man. Well, you know, this week I feel like a lot of what we've got tabled for discussion is surrounding movies that are on the horizon. I think there's a lot to get excited about, but, you know, with the 50 Shades of whatever they're calling it now leading the way over the weekend, it just kind of feels like this should have been a bigger weekend at the box office. Obviously, kind of a big date night weekend with Valentine's Day being on Wednesday, but I don't know, maybe things will pick up next weekend at the box office?
Yeah, I don't know if, like, 50 Shades is really the Valentine's Day movie that it might want to be. It's, you know, it's dealing with S&M and all that stuff, but we talked about it last week. This was not going to be a strong week for premieres. I think it was 15 to 17 to Paris, 50 Shades Freed. They won the box office, not with a good number. It was just a bad week, and as you said, next week's going to be huge. Black Panther's coming out, and it has, first of all, it has no competition. Second of all, it's getting unbelievably great reviews. It's been hyped for over a year. It's the first Marvel movie with a African-American or a black lead, so it's going to be a huge story no matter what. And like I said, there's no competition. So if it doesn't, like, just destroy the box office, I'll be shocked.
You just said no competition. I have to throw this out. There are only five people listening might get this. But when you said there ain't no competition, did you hear Kay Cutta in the back of your mind when you said there ain't no competition? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know if I know that reference.
Oh, Cal, you're killing me, man. All right, stay on the line when our conversation's over.
That's some sort of wrestling reference
no,
there?
No, it's not. It's not. I can't. There's,
so one there, person th- got that joke.
No,
congratulations.
No. There's a song out there that I can't YouTube this right now, because if I did, there are some explicit lyrics that might get us into some trouble. But I can't believe you didn't get the Kay Cutta reference.
No, I usually get your obscure references, but this one I don't know.
There ain't no competition.
Well, at least those other four people are laughing with you, Bull.
Well, they are. My phone's blowing up right now. You probably can't see that from that side of the studio, sure. But my phone is blowing up. It goes back to our days in West Virginia. There was a West Virginia rap.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, now I know you're. Yep.
Okay, now you got it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
I put a lot of those memories behind me, Bull.
All right, fam. I'm glad you still talk to me then. At least we're throwing that out there. Well, we're going to get back to Black Panther in just a second, because obviously there's a ton of hype, and as you mentioned, it's getting really good reviews, and I have a hard time believing that won't lead the way at the box office next weekend. But before we get back to Black Panther, our own Bruce Van Dyke said, hey, when you have Al on today, you've got to ask him about Death Wish. Apparently there's a new Death Wish, or a revamped Death Wish, coming out with Bruce Willis. Have you heard about this?
I have. There's been trailers out this past, you know, week, trying to pump it up. First of all, I don't know why they're remaking it. The trailer didn't look very interesting. It looks like what the trailer did show, and then as I did more research, it looks like it could be. Instead of the way that Charles Bronson was, who was just kind of like out for revenge for his wife and stuff, this looks like it might add interesting and like different ways to kill the people instead of, you know, just the way Charles Bronson did it. Because it is directed by Eli Roth. For those that don't know, he directed the Hostel movies, Cabin Fever, like a lot of like gory horror films. He was also Sergeant Donowitz in Inglourious Basterds. But he liked that like very stylized violence, very violent, very gory, takes his time, as if anyone's seen Hostel knows. So to me, that makes it slightly interesting. I don't know if they're going to go real gory and real brutal with this Death Wish, which obviously, if you saw the original, really wasn't what it was. It was more of, you know, just this hero avenging, and it was all about Charles Bronson. This one's a little different, you know, and I think Bruce Willis is a weird choice for it. I get it. Why? But Charles Bronson was way more stoic and way more, you know, just a man's man. Bruce Willis is more of a, you know, he is that type of action hero, but he's also a little more, you know, entertaining with his quips and stuff. Like, I thought, you know, someone more like a Vin Diesel or something like that would have been a little more interesting, or at least paid more homage to the original. But I'm not looking for much. Like we say, it's another February action movie that's trying to take advantage of the really low quality of movies coming out right now, and I don't see it being anything besides that.
So you're saying the casting wasn't the best, and if they don't fix this, do you think they could be making a Death Wish? You didn't get that one either. You didn't get there. Oh, man.
Yeah, you're
tough crowd
wow,
here today. Jeez, man.
Open night on Bullseye.
Wow.
They pushed the release date back on it. Did you see that? Why'd they end up doing that, you know?
Doing what?
They pushed the release date. It was originally scheduled to come out in October, and they ended up, or November, I think it was. Then in October, they announced they were pushing it back to March 2nd. I wasn't sure if that went along with local or with national news, something happening, or if they just decided, hey, let's push it back to March.
I think it was. I do remember that coming out. I forget exactly what happened.
Sure.
I think that was the reason. I also think they came to the realization that November was a big time for movies. This movie was not going to do anything in November. So that, and on top of, I forget exactly what happened, but what it was pushed it back, and I think it was a smart move.
We're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You talked about Clint Eastwood's movie coming out this weekend, 1517 to Paris. Interesting that he uses the real heroes that thwarted the terrorists in the actual attack here. Any thoughts on him using the actual heroes that thwarted the terrorists in this movie?
Yeah, I think on paper it sounds like a very interesting idea. Like, and there's that one Marine movie. I forget the name of it. Was it Medal of Valor or Act of Valor? Like
Act of Valor.
That kind of did the same thing. Had like Marines playing Marines. And I get why you do. And I actually worked on a film called Range 15, which was a zombie comedy written and starring military veterans to see that they can make fun of each other. And while it does seem like, you know, interesting on paper, it just, they aren't actors, you know. They probably haven't had a lot of experience. And when you do cast, like, non-actors, which I love doing, but it's something that you want to do and is supporting roles, kind of giving the heft to those actors, it's really tough asking people who've never acted in a film before, whether they're military or anything else, to carry a feature-length film, especially one directed by Clint Eastwood. So I think while on paper it sounded good and was probably a great story and was great for like press and promos and all that stuff. From what I've read and what I've heard, it's what happened is that they don't have the experience or maybe the acting ability to really carry a feature-length movie and make it more interesting than just, you know, the action of them saving the train. Because that's 30 seconds to 2 minutes of footage right there. And it's tough to make an entire film based on one heroic act. You know, United 93, Paul Greenway's film did it, but they really pumped up the tension. So it's a really tough thing to do, and it's even tougher to do when you have, like we said, non-actors. So I just don't think it was like a good idea all in all, but Clint Eastwood's 87. He's been there forever. He's going to get anything made he wants to get made. So I respect it for trying to do it, but it didn't seem like a great idea at the time, and seems like less of a good idea now as it did horrible in the first week in the box office.
Sure. The last couple of seconds, I was doing a little research. I don't mean to jump all over the place here, Al, but the reason they pushed it back would have been the Vegas massacres and the gun violence in the United States. So that's why Death Wish got pushed back. But I'm just curious, do you think that stuff like that has hurt movies? Because obviously Death Wish is a movie that sort of glorifies the gun in the way that the gentleman goes out there and gets revenge for his family. Do you think that's kind of hurt movies like that from that standpoint?
The
political climate?
The research in front of me, but I know there's been a few times when it's happened where it's been school shootings. I think the movie O, which was a retelling of Shakespeare's Othello, was pushed back for this because it was supposed to be released right during some school shootings. And it got pushed back. It's an awful box office. I think another movie was supposed to come out around the same time as 9/11. It got pushed back and didn't do well. So usually that's not a good sign, and especially with the way the political climate is now, it's tough to do a movie that, you know, really shows revenge in a good light.
Mm-hmm.
It's very gun-heavy. It's a tough thing to do, especially, you know, when you have like guys like Tarantino and other directors who have a little more fun with it. This mm-hmm. seems like really dark and really, like, you know, just showing how awful this kind of stuff is. So I think it's going to be a tough sell, and I'd be really surprised if it does well.
Al, I promised we'd come around to Black Panther. We're going to do that here in a minute. But, you know, Deadpool 2 seems to be getting a heck of a lot of buzz. It doesn't come out for another couple of months here, but what's the early buzz you're hearing about this? Because, again, it's going to be very, very tough to be as successful as the original, which was just off-the-wall awesome, hilarious, great story. Can they top that with the second one here?
Well, so Deadpool really reminds me kind of Guardians of the Galaxy, where it was this superhero movie with not like as big of a superhero as like Captain America or Thor, and they tried to do something fun with it. Guardians of the Galaxy, people barely knew, and it came out of nowhere and was great, a lot of fun. Same thing with Deadpool. And then you saw the sequel, Guardians of the Galaxy, was pretty much the same exact thing. And didn't do as well. Reviews did pretty good in the box office, but not as well. And I think Deadpool 2 was smart. Instead of just trying to like do the same thing over again, they had Josh Brolin as Cable. Like, as the trailer that just got released, I think a couple days ago, really highlighted Josh Brolin as Cable. First of all, it's a great casting. I'm all in for most of the things Josh Brolin does ever since Jonah Hex, which was a huge disaster. So I'm usually in. It looks like a lot of fun. Brolin's that type of guy, too, that can really play against Ryan Reynolds' character and the way that Ryan Reynolds acts. Like, he's, you know, kind of goofy, in your face, like, kind of gets annoying. Why Brolin is, you know, they have that steely intensity, but he also knows how to make fun of himself without going over the top. So I think it's a great casting. And I think for that reason, it's going to do, I think it might be a really good sequel, and I think it'll do great in the box office. I think the way Deadpool was, people are excited for it. And if I remember correctly, the director of Deadpool 2 is one of the guys who directed John Wick. So you know that kind of humor, those great action set pieces are going to be there. So I've been hearing so far, I haven't talked to anyone who's seen it yet, but everything I've heard has been pretty good. And they're doing a great job of promoting it, like always, not just relying on clips, but using action figures, using weird Deadpool kind of meta humor. And they're doing a great job. So hopefully it does well, and hopefully it's a good movie.
Yeah, well, that'll take us right back to Black Panther. Again, this weekend, it's out in theaters, and obviously the hype has been there for a while. You mentioned a little bit earlier, the critics have given it thumbs up. What other things are you hearing about the Black Panther movie? Because, again, I don't know that I've heard anything negative about this movie.
Well, I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. I think there's 3 negative reviews, and even those reviews aren't that negative. So it's very rare to see it. I think the hype will be justified. It might get to the point where it's so overhyped that even if it's like not a fantastic movie but a good movie, people are going to feel like it's overrated. But the cast is phenomenal. Michael B. Jordan is the bad guy. I can't be more excited about that. Everything just looks great. And usually when like stuff like that, you have like certain sides politicizing it, you know. And from what I've heard, there still is kind of that, but both of them are using it to frame their own political views. So I heard nothing but good things, and I'm like super excited for it. And as we talked about earlier, it should shatter the box office. I think it might. I think there's a good chance for it to break the record for a February premiere of all time. So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have something to talk about next Monday, if nothing else. All right, my man, we've come to that point in the interview where we need to get our picks to click. What should we be watching for this week?
Nothing? This is a bad week, man. The past couple weeks, it just seems like they're waiting, which blows my mind because there isn't good films coming out right now. I feel like TV would take advantage of that and get like some great premieres in January and February, especially in the winter months when people don't like to leave the house. But this is a there's nothing really exciting for me this week. There's a Joel McHale talk show being premiered on Netflix. John Oliver's show comes back on Sunday, but nothing that is getting me too excited. But it's a good time to check on things that, you know, have premiered you haven't seen yet. Like One Day at a Time on Netflix came out a couple last week, I think, and that's fantastic, good, wholesome comedy. You know, check on whatever else has been out. Like, I'm definitely going to take the time to catch up on that Waco show I talked about earlier, maybe The Assassination of Gianni Versace, and finally watch Better Call Saul. But right now, besides like catching up on things that you haven't seen yet, there's really nothing to get excited for this week.
Well, I will be excited for our interview next Monday. That's the one thing I'm excited for, so that'll be my pick to click. Al, a pleasure as always, my good man. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
It sounds good. Have a great week, guys.
You too. That's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.